Let's pray. Father, we love you. And Lord, we just thank you for the truthfulness of your word. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts tonight. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So like 3 or 4 years ago, I spent like 10 days in the hospital and it was not a good situation. But there was a doctor who God used particularly, I believe to bring some healing into my life. And she was just this amazing woman. And I remember when the first time I went to see her, I walked into the office and she goes, "Now you obviously have a weight problem. What's wrong?" And I said, "Well, I've got 4 kids, I'm really busy." And she goes, "Are the children up at 5:30 in the morning?" I said, "No, actually they're not." She goes, "Then that's when you need to be up and running." She was the doctor that I had to get a release from to come back to church. And I was, really wanting to get back to church and kept pressing her on, "Hey, when can I get back to church?" And so when I had my appointment with her to kind of clarify that, she said, "You can go back to church, but I don't want you shaking hands." And I said, "Okay." I said, "Can I hug people?" And she goes, "You Baptist." She goes, "Why do you have to hug people?" I said, "Well, I'm a hugger." I said, "I'd like to hug you right now." And she goes, "Well, I'll hug you. I'm not sick, but all those sick people that go to church every week, they're going to kill you." She was just an amazing woman. And they put her in hospice this week. And I had a chance to get to go see her. And I went into the room and, they said that, she's not remembering a lot of things. She probably won't know who you are and, but you can see her if you want to. And so I went in, nobody else was in the room. And when I walked in, she said, "How's your wife?" And I mean, just was so, had such clarity. And she asked how the kids were. And I answered those questions and we talked and she just started crying. She goes, "I just want to hear him say to me, 'Well done, my good and faithful servant.'" I'm fighting the tears. And I said, "You're going to hear those words. You're going to hear those words." And I told her, I said, because I knew it'd be the last time I saw her. And I said, alive. And I said, "I can't wait to see you again." And she said, "On the other side." And I said, "That's right." And she goes, "And I'll be there, Jamie, at the gates with my arms open wide." And I told her, I said, "And I'll be skinny." And she and she said, "Yeah, right." And it's just made me think, I told a story a few weeks ago about a 25-year-old girl very close to in our lives. You all kind of walked through the journey with me, with my brother-in-law. And I think in the church, we have a very poor misunderstanding of suffering, which makes us have a very poor understanding of healing. In Romans 8:18, it says this, Paul writes, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed." And it's this whole idea. I think most everybody in here would agree that this is not home. God didn't create us for the earth. God created us for himself. And if he created us for himself, then he did not create us for this world. But he created us for himself. And in Isaiah, it says that our purpose, the reason for our creation, is to bring glory to God. And so Paul writes to the church at Rome, "I consider our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." And I think in the church, we have this theology that says God hates suffering and God doesn't want us to suffer, which makes us say, if you suffer, then it's God's desire to heal that suffering. You see, the vast majority of scriptures in the Bible that talk about healing are talking about the healing that's been done on the cross. By his stripes, we are healed. Well, I've had a cold since the cross.
I've had the flu since the cross. I've been in the hospital since the cross. And what I'm afraid is we have these incredible opportunities to live our lives for the glory of God, and we are praying them away. Because listen, most of you know this. This is no revelation. We are going to suffer. We are going to. And you know, and I'm kind of at a place in my life where I don't know that I've really personally suffered. And so I'm saying that because of what I'm about to say is, I don't know what's harder, to suffer or to watch people you love suffer. Some of you know what's harder because you've been in both situations, but I don't know that I've really suffered, but I've watched people that I dearly love suffer. And it's amazing how I've watched them and how their faith was so profound during that time of suffering. I mean, because here's what you know. If you're on top of the world, who cares, right? If everything's going great, who cares? The world doesn't care about that. But the world watches us when we suffer because they want to know if we really believe what we say we believe, that it's all about Jesus. When Paul tells the church, I consider our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Do you know what he's saying to the church? You are going to suffer. And whatever you're going through. Now, did Paul say this with the intimate knowledge of how every person in the church at Rome was suffering? No. Whatever you're suffering, whatever you're going through, it's not, it doesn't even come close to comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And we're going to suffer. I've thought about this all week. Because tonight we're talking about healing. And how many of you are wondering if I'm confused about what the topic is for the night? This doesn't sound like healing. But I don't think we can understand healing unless we understand suffering. And we've got to understand God's goal for our lives is not that we never suffer. But God's goal is that we would suffer well. And we would suffer in a way that brings him glory. Right? So it's my brother-in-law. And every conversation I would have in the midst of his suffering, he talked about Jesus and wanting God to be glorified in his life. You know? It's this doctor that I was with a few days ago saying, I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. It says, let me read this to you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, it says this. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker, in spreading the gospel of Christ to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. Everybody hear that? Sent Timothy. We wanted Timothy to encourage you in the midst of your trial. And all that we're going through, we wanted to send Timothy. Because these trials, we were destined for them. You see, in God's design, the earth wasn't designed to be a pleasant place. How many of you realize that? And please hear me. I'm not saying that I don't desire for it to be a great, suffering-free, problem-free place, but it wasn't designed for that. And I look back on times in my life, you know, where there was an opportunity to endure and be a witness, or I would just sulk and pray and say, God, why me? Why this? Why now? But suffering is going to be a part of every one of our lives. And,
You know, all of us have gone through some level of suffering at this point in our lives. You know, whether it was the loss of a grandparent, the loss of a friend. As you get older, you begin to experience things like the loss of a child, the loss of a spouse. And that suffering is all around us. And a lot of times, too, it's even in how those things occur. Because Pastor Jeff and I were talking today, and you know, when we're here on the earth, we have to understand that this earth is sin. We have fallen because of sin. Everybody agree with that? Sin is on the earth. Let me say it that way. Does everybody agree with that? Sin is on the earth. This isn't the perfect place, and God hasn't designed it to be so. And because of that, there are all kinds of things that happen as believers when we live on the planet. And God intends to use every one of those moments for His glory. And so healing, the ultimate healing comes through what Jesus did on the cross. Let me tell you, whatever you have to suffer through, none of it is worse than suffering hell. And Jesus died on the cross. He died to sin once and for all. And that's why it's written that by His stripes we are healed. Because of what Jesus suffered. You know, Isaiah called Jesus the suffering servant. And because of what He suffered, you and I experience the ultimate healing in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then comes life as a believer on the earth. And sickness comes. And death comes. And have you personally witnessed that sometimes there's a physical healing and most of the time there's not? Anybody? Raise your hand if you've seen that there's been some physical healing, but most of the time there's not. Raise your hand. I want to see how much I want to delve into this. We have to reach some conclusion about that, don't we? Don't we? I mean, if the healing that the Bible talks about so much is about a healing from sickness and from disease in a physical sense, then why isn't everybody getting healed? And yet it seems like that the greatest saints have been those who, in the face of that, in the face of impending death, have given the most glory to God. And God has used that so many times to touch and change people's lives. So when I preached a message much like this about 4 years ago, I asked the question, how do you get people excited about suffering? And how do we all get to a place, you know, where we say, Lord, I'm ready and willing to suffer. And please don't mistake preaching about this as my willingness to do it. But here's what I know, willing or not, I'm going to suffer. It is part of living this life on earth. And, you know, and as a pastor who maybe people are forced to listen to on a Wednesday night or a Sunday, and you got to know that when you're preaching, only half of them are even listening, right? And the rest of you don't even know what I'm talking about right now. There'll be more people listening when I suffer than have ever listened before. Let me put it this way. People that it breaks my heart that they won't listen when I suffer, they'll listen then. And that's why Paul writes, you know, what we're going through right now, it's not even close to the glory that will be revealed in us. And so healing serves one purpose, and that is to bring glory to God. It's to bring glory to God. Jesus heals a man, and the questions are asked, you know, what happened to this guy? What was the problem? And the Bible's really clear about what happened to the guy, why he had suffered the way he had suffered. The Bible says that God did this to him. But God did this to him so that when God healed him, God would get the glory. Remember what Jesus said?
He healed a man, and he said, everybody remember the story, right? It's this incredible picture where Jesus comes and there's the crowd is gathered and they're thinking there's going to be this incredible healing. And Jesus says to the guy, he's getting ready to speak the words, and Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And kind of what I draw from the context of the scripture is it wasn't filled with a bunch of unbelievers that hated Jesus. It was filled with a lot of people like me and you. And we were there because we love Jesus. And oh, we want to hear what Jesus has to say. And they bring this guy who's been crippled all his life, right? And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And guess what the crowd does? The crowd says, oh, that's a bummer. His sins are forgiven. I mean, the ultimate miracle, isn't it? The ultimate miracle was that his sin would be forgiven. And Jesus did that. And people were upset. And there was a stir. And then Jesus said, but so that you know the Son of Man has power to forgive sin, get up and walk. Healing is about the glory of God. But we can't see it. Healing as an end in itself, because it's not. Healing is a means to an end, much like suffering is a means to an end. And that end is that God would be glorified, because we are going to suffer. We are going to suffer. And if you're thinking, you know, I don't think I've really suffered, get ready. You're going to. I can already see the email 6 months from now. It's your fault. You said I was going to suffer. But we are. And God uses that suffering. How do you follow somebody who's referred to as the suffering servant and not think that you'll have to suffer? How do we follow a Savior who was put on a cross? He was crucified. And not think that we won't suffer. And I think it's because we lose sight of the fact that God created us for His glory. And He's going to use our lives to bring Him glory. He's going to use our lives to bring Him glory. And that happens in suffering. And that happens in healing. And tonight I want to encourage you. Much as Paul said, we're sending Timothy to encourage you. Because you're in the midst of this trial and you need to understand that you were destined for this. You were destined for it. Now it's hard because in American culture, we only use destiny and the word destined when we're talking about good things, right? So you watch American Idol and there's all those people that can't sing and never fail. Somebody says, this is my destiny. But we don't think of suffering as destiny, that we're going to suffer. And the message tonight really is this, that we've got to suffer well. Because that's when the world will be watching. That's when the world will be listening. I've got a dear friend, and I'm convinced, and this is a friend I've had all my life since childhood, and I am convinced that he will not listen until something happens to me. I'm just convinced of that. Because while the guy doesn't buy into what I say to him for some reason, there's just a relationship there that's very important. You know, if something happened, if somebody ran in the room right now and said something happened to this guy, I'd leave right now. And try to get there. And I've always felt like he's never going to listen until something happens to me. And I've prayed that he'd be saved, but I haven't prayed that something would happen to me so that will happen. But how much do we want God glorified in our lives? I mean, how much are we willing to live our lives for his glory? And how much are we willing to suffer so that he will be glorified? And I'm talking about suffering on every level. You know, sometimes it's people that don't like you and reject you and persecute you because you're a Christian. And sometimes that suffering is in sickness. It's in dying. When I walked into that room in hospice, And I said, how are you doing? She was sitting up and she said, well, I'm dying. And she knows that. She knows that she's dying. She knows it. And it's not that, you know, that God couldn't sweep in and pass his hand over the top of her head and her get up and walk. It's not that. But she doesn't believe that's what's going to happen. That's what she would like to have happen. But she believes she's going to die. And so everybody that comes in, guess what? She talks about heaven. Because she wants to suffer well. And if this is her final moment, she wants God to shine brighter than ever in her final moment. So we have these tokens that says, for I am the Lord who heals. And that's out of Exodus. And it's a word that's spoken to God's people about all they're going through, all that they're going to go through. And it's really kind of one of these prophecies of, if you do this, then I'll do this. And one of the things that God says in Exodus 15, if you'll be faithful and if you'll listen to me and you follow me, I won't bring the diseases on you that I brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. And he's calling us, and I really want you to hear this. He is calling us to follow him. You see, all this is about the gospel. All of this is about the cross. Because this life, if you live to be 100, this life is this long. It's nothing. The Bible says it's a vapor and it's gone. And all that matters in this life is the cross. That's all that matters, what Jesus has done, that he has saved us and that he was glorified through our lives. And for him to truly be glorified in our lives, it is going to be costly. It's going to be costly. One of the things that I've prayed for, that this church, that we'd be a sending church. I've prayed for young people in our church especially. Not that old people can't do this, but I've prayed for young people in our church, for them to get a call from God to leave America and go to the nations for the rest of their lives. And then it dawned on me, God might send my kids. And so I was like, well, hang on, let me think that through, right? But that's been my prayer, because this is all that matters. It's all that matters is that God is glorified through our lives. And God's stirring in our church right now. I mean, there's some things happening and they're scary because I don't understand them. I don't know what God's doing. But I know that every day is more important than the day before, that God is glorified through my life, that God's glorified through our marriages, and that God is glorified through our parenting, that God is glorified in being a good student, that God is glorified in working with excellence at whatever job we have, and especially that God is glorified through the trials and the tribulations that we're going to go through. And that somehow we see those moments as gifts from God. Now listen, I've thought about this, and I just think all these things sound so strange, right? Like if you've never been to church, maybe somebody's here tonight that's never been to church, and they got to be thinking, why do people go? That was depressing. You know, I feel hopeless. But this is what matters. This is what our lives will be measured by. And as your pastor, I want to encourage you that these are the things that matter. And that when I'm in the midst of that difficult moment, my ultimate prayer is that God will be glorified in the way that I suffer and how I suffer and what I say while I'm suffering, that he would be glorified. And then I know if that healing comes, that physical healing, then I know this. I wasn't healed because I'm such a blessing to God that he wanted to leave me here because his work couldn't be done. But he did that for his glory. And if I had any concept or clue of heaven, then a physical healing is a raw deal. But most of us don't think like that. Most of us don't see it that way. We see suffering as something that needs to be avoided, something that we'll pray against, and we see healing, and especially physical healing, we see that as the favor of God. And that's why when people die, well-meaning Christians and incredibly spiritually immature Christians say, if you'd have had more faith, right? If they'd have had more faith, they'd be alive. And that's why you hear things like that. That's why people say things like that. Because our view of suffering is very different from the Bible's view of suffering. And our view of healing is very different from the Bible's view of healing. You see, both things are intended for the glory of God. And here's the thing, because I got to believe that somebody's sitting there right now saying, well, my gosh, I'm not going to suffer. And you're wrong. You're going to suffer. All of us are. The question is, how will we suffer? How will we suffer? Let me just say this in closing. He is the Lord who heals. And He heals all kinds of things in our lives. And the reason He heals is so that He'll be glorified. And He's promised to comfort those who are grieving, those who mourn. And He has said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And there is a healing that has been promised to every believer. And that healing was realized on the cross. If you know much about recovery, when you reach kind of the year point in sobriety from whatever the addiction might be, you get a coin. And that was kind of the concept of these coins. Because some of you here tonight, no doubt, and you know, so many of us struggle with different kinds of addictions. And we pray for God to heal us. And I hope I've been clear that the reason for that healing is so that God would be glorified. And some of us are struggling. Some of us are struggling, and I'm probably one of them tonight, struggling with watching people I love suffer. And it hurts. You want to do something and you want understanding. I want to encourage you. We're going to have a time of altar, and I want to invite you to come to this altar and pray. If you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, He is the Lord who heals. And He heals us from the one thing that kills us, and that's sin. And the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, every one of us. All of us are cursed by sin. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's where sin leads to. But Jesus has come and He's died on the cross so our sin could be forgiven. And that is ultimate healing. And I would invite you tonight to leave that life of sin and come and experience on the healing and forgiveness that only God can bring through Jesus Christ. There's going to be other people come and pray. And I would urge you tonight not to leave here without a relationship with Jesus. His forgiveness is true forgiveness. His healing is true healing. And you've heard me say, we weren't created for this world. We were created for the world that's to come. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going to go through many things. We're going to go through many things. And I pray that our prayer would be, Lord, help us to suffer well. Help us to suffer well. Father, we love You. And Lord, I'm going to pray right now for those here that don't know You. And Lord, I pray for You to do what only You can do. And that's to save them, to forgive their sin. I pray for that. I pray tonight You would open eyes and open ears to who You really are, and that people would be saved. And Lord, I pray for those in the midst of suffering. Lord, and I pray they would come and they would pick up this coin, and that the hope of this coin isn't that you bring healing. The hope of this coin is that you're glorified, that you would be glorified. And I pray that we would live our lives with a reckless abandon, Lord, counting everything else but loss for the sake of knowing you. That we could say with the apostle, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. All that we would be a people who would believe that and live that. Lord, I pray for people all over this congregation. And Lord, I pray that this would be a church who would send people to the ends of the earth to share the gospel with those who've never heard. Lord, I pray for people of all ages to do that, but I especially pray for the young people of our church, Lord, that they would hear a word from you, Father, that you would send them and they would go. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Let's stand together. This altar is open. These coins are here. Please come and get one.